Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 for our message this morning. Psalm 107. And of course, this is indeed the Thanksgiving weekend coming up. And we've done this the last couple of years. Rather than on a Wednesday night, which we now have on Zoom, we're going to do this Thanksgiving focus on this Sunday, this Lord's Day. And the Lord has brought to mind this portion in God's Word, Psalm 107. And I like to title this, Four Ways That God Saves. And immediately when someone hears that phraseology, four ways that God saves, wait a minute, wasn't it that God only saves through Christ? The answer is yes. But as someone has often said, there's only one way to the Lord, to God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6 tells us that. But there's many ways to Christ. And this Psalm 107, brings out the information that tells us how Israel was redeemed, and in a practical way, how we can be giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done in our lives as well. And so it's a great Psalm 107, and it begins with these words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." What a great Thanksgiving theme, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. "For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." And with those three verses right there, we're introduced to this great psalm of thanksgiving. It actually begins the fifth book of the Psalms. Did you know that? Did you know that the book of Psalms is divided into five books? And each one of those books within the book of Psalms corresponds to the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, those five books, all right? They correspond to the five books of Psalms. And Psalm 107 begins book five of the Psalms. Book one is Psalms 1 through 41, and then book two is 42 through 72, and then book three is 73 through 89, and then book four is 90 through Psalm 106, and then here 107 to the very end. Five different segments within the book of Psalms. And Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher from a previous century, now two centuries ago, I guess, he had a tremendous volume that some people really appreciate. It's called The Treasury of David. And he knows himself that David knew himself when he wrote that great volume, which is used even today, The Treasury of David, that all the Psalms were not written by David. Some were written by Asaph. Some were written by Solomon. Some were written by Moses. So a lot of different authors within the book of Psalms. The majority of them, 76 of these Psalms, were written by David. But a lot of other people authored the Psalms as well. This one wasn't written by David, apparently, because as you look at it and read through and understand the context, you understand that perhaps it came after the days of David. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever." That's a great way to start out a psalm. It's a great way to think about how we should enter into the Lord's presence. I always like to think about what we read in Psalm 100, just a few psalms before. It says we should enter into his courts with praise. A lot of times we come to the Lord and we need an uplift, right? So we need to be encouraged. And we hear the word of God and that's what encourages us. But you know, the scripture says, come into his courts with praise. So we really should be thinking about the Lord all the week long, all the day long, and attributing to the Lord, giving Lord thanks for what he's done in our lives. That's an important thing to do. And then when we do that, we get into that discipline, that exercise of doing that, then we will enter into his courts with praise. And so it's a great psalm right here. And again, it starts out with this great call to an exhortation to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, Psalm 107 actually outlines the history of the nation of Israel. It was probably written on the way back from the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians had captured Israel. We read about that in the book of Daniel. And so when Daniel was taken away and his friends, we've mentioned this before many times here in this from this pulpit. But when he was taken away, the Babylonians had come in and ransacked Israel, taken away. That's called the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah had prophesied that this is what would happen unless Israel changed their ways. You know, it's somehow it is that God's people can keep hearing the word, being exhorted and encouraged to live for the Lord, and yet for some reason it falls on deaf ears. And then God brings down his chastening hand upon his people for their good. And yet for the nation of Israel, they heard this from Jeremiah. And he said, if you don't change your ways, 70 years you're going to be in the land of Babylon. That's exactly what happened. They were worshiping idols. They were doing the wrong things. And so God chastised them. But in God's mercy and grace, he brought the nation of Israel back from Babylon, back to the land of Israel. And so this psalm was probably written upon that. And here the psalmist is outlining for the reader all the different segments of God's grace and mercy that he demonstrated to them. So it's got a very clear past application. It's got a wonderful future or prophetic application for it as well, because these are going to be the words of Israel in a future day when God delivers them from the great tribulation on earth, a 7-year period of time on earth of tremendous tribulation. So it's got a past application, it's got a prophetic application, but it's got a very practical present application for you and for me. Because as we read through these words, as we will in a few minutes, we will understand that God does indeed show his mercy and grace to each one of us. And we have an obligation to come back and give thanks to him. What fitting psalm this is in the light of what we have in our celebration in our country. Abraham Lincoln and other presidents beyond him instituted this time, and it was moved around the calendar a little bit. But this is the time of year, thankfully, that we have something in our calendar to put the attention of giving thanks. And in the world's way, you know how the world does it, right? They try to twist and change things. You know, Christmas is Santa Claus and Easter is the Easter Bunny. And they try to distort the reason for those holidays, for those events. Rather than the resurrection of Christ or the birth of Christ, they try to cover it over and distract. And even for Thanksgiving, that can be done that way as well. Instead of giving thanks like the Pilgrim Fathers did for God's abundant supply, even though they suffered in the first year that they were here in this new land, somehow this holiday has morphed into, well, let's give thanks for family. That's a nice thing. But beyond that, to God who's given us families and to God who has provided for us. And so don't fall into the trap of listening to the voices of the world around us to try to steer us in a different direction. You know, we used to play games when we were little kids. And, you know, when you were hiding something, you know, we used to sing a song. And as you got closer to it, right, you got louder. You ever play that game when you were little? You know, you sing. Maybe you didn't. Maybe that was only in my neighborhood. I don't know. But we would hide something. And then when the person got closer to it, you sing real loud. And that would be the audible clue that the person's getting closer. But sometimes we'd like to throw people off and sing louder when they're somewhere else, or not sing at all. And it was a subtle way of trying to get the person away from what they're looking for. And that's what Satan does in people's hearts and minds in this world. They might be thinking they're moving in the right direction to the Lord, and Satan is right there to try to divert, try to dissuade, or get on a different path. And so the world around us, they take these holidays and they corrupt these holidays, and they try to give them different meanings than what they really are. And so we're thankful that that holiday, Thanksgiving, is in the calendar, but we give thanks to God for his provision, for his mercy, for his kindness, for his goodness, for his grace. And the church of Christ is to be the pillar and the ground of truth, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And so we have a responsibility, corporately, as a body of believers, and also individually, you and I, individually, as we go out into the world around us, to make sure that we're testifying to the mercy and grace of God. And so that's what this psalm reinforces here. And so again, it starts out this way, about his mercy enduring forever, and the redeemed of the Lord should always say so. Are you instant in season with prayer as well as testimony? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, nothing's going to happen. People are not going to come to know the Lord if we don't speak up for the Lord. If we don't say it, who will? We need to make sure that we're giving God the praise. And somehow, some way, and this is true in my life as well, you get to the point and say, well, I don't want to push too hard, or I don't want to make a person feel uncomfortable. And so you avoid saying things about the Lord when you really should say something about the Lord. I appreciate, I don't want to build Brother Clapey up here, but you know, we've been out for the prayer breakfast and different events, you know, the men's prayer breakfast that we have on Saturdays and various things. And, you know, I'm always appreciate like when Brother Dennis will share a track with the waitress or a waiter at our table. I appreciate that. And I need to get stronger in that area myself. And I'm getting that way. I can feel it in my own person. When I go out into the marketplace and when there's an opportunity, I will say, well, thank the Lord for it. I've told this story here many a time that, and it, where it bears repeating. On a golf course, 10th hole, 9th hole, getting ready for the 10th hole, hungry, and need to get a hot dog, have to rush in real quickly, get a hot dog because I was hungry, didn't have any breakfast that morning or whatever. And the harried waitress there who's waiting on all these people around the counter there at the cafe, I said to her, I'd like to have a hot dog. So I gave her a $10 bill, and it was a hot dog and a Coke. And it was like $3 and a dollar for the Coke or whatever it was, $4. I think that's, but no, $3 for the whole thing, right? $3 for the whole thing. She gave me back $97. She thought I gave her a $100 bill when I gave her just a 10. That's how harried she was. And she gave me the hot dog, she gave me the Coke, and she gave me my change. And all of a sudden I looked down at my change and she went off because she was so busy. She went off, and underneath those couple singles there were a couple 20s and a 10 or whatever it was. And it was $97. Now, I could have easily just said, thanks, have a great day, because I'm going to have a great day too. I could have pocketed that, and she would have never known until the end of the day. But I looked at that, and I said, you know, she's going to have to make that up out of her own cash and her own tips. I called her back over. I said, you know, you gave me too much money. This really is, you know, all I need back is this amount of change I give her. She, with a big sigh of relief, she says, thank you so much. All I could say is I could hardly be called a Christian if I kept that money and walked away. That's all I had time to say to her. That's all that she had to hear in that brief encounter. But to be able to say something for the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I want to challenge all of us to be sure that we are walking advertisements for the Lord. And then we don't just say, thanks, have a nice day. Just say, I'm blessed, thank you. You know, the Lord saved me. Or whatever you would say, I think that's, that would work to share that with those that you come in contact with. Well, this psalm can be split into three sections. Verses 1 through 3, we have the praise of the redeemed, the praise of the redeemed. And then the larger section, verses 4 through 32, would be pictures of redemption. And then finally, the third section would be the power of the Redeemer. Okay, those are three main sections. The praise of the redeemed, the pictures of redemption, and then the power of the Redeemer. That's how this whole psalm is broken up. We're not going to go through verse by verse. What I want to focus on, though, is this. The main section of verses 4 through 32 are pictures of redemption. Four different scenarios in which God miraculously delivered his people, the nation of Israel, and how God miraculously delivers his people individually, you and me. That's the practical part of things. And then the result that comes out of it. Now, each one of these four pictures, are split into four parts. So you got the psalm split into three parts. You got the pictures split into four parts. And each one of those is subdivided as well. They all start with a problem. God's people experiencing a problem. And then they call out to the Lord in prayer. And then God wonderfully provides for them. And then they praise the Lord. Every single one of these scenarios is broken down the same way. First, there's a problem or predicament, whatever. And then there's a calling out in prayer to the Lord for his help. God wonderfully provides for his people, and then it results in praise. And each one of these scenarios ends with this wonderful refrain, which says this in verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that's repeated four times. It's found in verse 4, the end of one picture. It's found again in verse 15, the end of the second picture. It's found again in verse 21, the end of the third picture. And once more in verse 31, the end of that picture. And each one of these are different scenarios in which God's people go through certain difficulties and God miraculously delivers these people. Let's take a look at the details here. Again, he says in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south globally. God has people all around this planet. And he's delivered his people. He did for the nation of Israel from four corners of the compass, north, south, east, west. But also God has people all around this globe from the north, south, east, and west. And so the call is to go out to all of God's people, universally, all around, north, south, east, and west, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just imagine that. If God's people stood up to the plate, as we would say, and spoke for the Lord, they were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, how many people would come to know Christ as Savior? I didn't come to know the Lord until I was 17. And I don't think I heard the gospel. Maybe I did, and my eyes and ears were blinded and deaf to those things. But maybe God had people witnessing to me and I didn't realize it, but I don't remember. And so it needs to be said over and over again. So we need God's people to speak out. Well, what's the first scenario? Well, the first scenario is to someone who's solitary or in a lonely place or feeling lonely. Look what it says here in verse 4. They wandered, now this is the nation of Israel, or anybody who's lonely, wandered in a wilderness in a desolate or solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They're wandering around. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This is a person who's just wandering. This is a person going through life with all the problems of life. Aimless, without any purpose. That's the problem. That's the predicament. That's the loneliness that is felt. So that's the predicament. That's the problem. Then, verse 6, here comes the prayer. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. They didn't go to this person or that person. They went to the Lord. The Lord has the answer to the problems of life. It's the Lord that can do these things, and that's what happened. So here's the prayer. That's the pattern that we see throughout all these scenarios, all these vignettes. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city for a dwelling place. That's the way that God provides for them. He gives us guidance for those that call upon him. It's pretty clear. That's what the word of God says. And so, as a result, it says here, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Again, a wonderful reminder that God meets the needs of the heart of every person, men and women alike, who are going through whatever issues it might be. Here it's loneliness. We hear a lot about loneliness and anxiety and depression and a lot of things these days, especially in the last couple of years with COVID and everything else. Here is the remedy. The remedy is Christ. The remedy is coming to him. He will show you the right way. He led them forth by the right way, verse 7, and that they might go to a city for a dwelling place, that they get established. That's what God does when a person calls out to him. That's scenario number one. For the solitary or the lonely person, that's what we read in verses 4 through 9. The next scenario begins at verse 10, and this one is for the stubborn of heart. Okay, that's another malady with people. One thing, feel lonely. Another one is making bad decisions and putting yourself in that situation. And so verse 10, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God. They despised the counsel of the Most High. They said, not for me. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. That's the predicament. That's the problem. Because of their own stubbornness, because of their own willfulness, they deliberately pushed aside the counsel. They despised the counsel of the Most High. And so that is a decision that's made. It's a stubborn decision. And so what happens because of the situation and the dilemma that they're in? They will hopefully come to their senses like the prodigal son in Luke 15. And so in verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. That's what makes him a redeemer. He pulls people out of that situation. I always like the words of Psalm 41. He pulled me up out of the miry clay. put my feet upon the rock and established my goings. That's the wonderful testimony of the psalmist David, who said those words. And that's what happens when anybody calls out to the Lord who's going through their problems. He saved them out of their distresses. And verse 14, the provision. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. That's God's wonderful provision. Verse 15, a second rendering of this quatrain here. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. If you were to take the time and look at Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 1 and 2, you would see those are the words of what happened with Israel under the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So that would testify the fact this was written after the time of David. Again, God has given the praise. God has given the praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God gets the praise for what he's done. And so this is a second scenario, the stubborn. The solitary, the stubborn. Here's the one who's sick. That's the next scenario. We see that in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression, deliberate mistake, misstep, whatever you want to call it, because of sinfulness, wrong actions, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. That's the predicament. That's the problem. And when a person gets to that point, like that prodigal son, again in Luke 15, realizes their situation. And then once they realize it, then they call out to the Lord. If they do indeed call out to the Lord, some don't want to do it and they want to continue in that mode. But why do that? Why hurt yourself and continue in that way when the provision is right there to get out? And so that's what happened. Yeah, it says here in verse 19, once they realized this, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He, that is God, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. When a person means business with the Lord, God is there all too quick to respond in mercy and grace. That's why the psalm starts that way. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. His mercy endures forever. God is there. He wants to heal. God is there. He wants to help. He wants to deliver. He wants a person to come to him. That's why he sent his son to come to this earth for us. God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loves people. He wants to have a relationship with them. And so we trust that's the case for each one here as well. And so what does he do? He sends his word, heals them, delivers them from their destructions. Verse 21, here it is again. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You can't say that too much, can you? And that's what's happening here with the psalmist. So the result, praise, path they take. Verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Their life was changed. Their life was turned around, marvelously delivered by God's mercy and grace. And so that's the sick person. Not all sickness is a result of sin. The testimony of Job in the Old Testament is proof positive of that. Not all sickness is sin. But sometimes sickness is a result of sin. It does happen. And sometimes that's the case. And that's what the Bible is teaching right here. Fools, because of their transgression, their iniquities, they bring themselves into that situation. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It's not for us to judge. It's for that person to call out to the Lord for help. And he'll let them know what they need to do. The final scenario here is for the storm-tossed. Verse 23 all the way down to verse 32. And that's a different scenario. All the other ones were, you know, solitary. Somebody's lonely, wandering through the wilderness. Another one is because of their stubbornness, they brought these problems on themselves. Another one would be because of sickness. It happens because of their wrong decision. But the storm-tossed ones are for those that are just going around in the course of life and they're not really doing anything wrong. And that's what we see here, beginning at verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships and do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. Verse 26, they mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. That was their situation. They just went out doing business as normal. And as a result, they were hit with storms. They didn't have storms hit them because it was just the way it was. They were out there in the normal course of life, and a storm came up. Not because of what they did. That's their predicament. You know, just recently somebody bashed into our car, right? You know, nobody was hurt, thankfully for that. But, you know, I have my list of things to do in the course of the day. And then I'm driving, I have to run over real quickly. I remember this, I forgot something at Home Depot. I'd already been there. I forgot it, but I needed it, so I went back to Home Depot. You know, if I only had remembered to get that grass seed on the first trip. So I went back to the Home Depot to get the grass seed. And I'm driving out of the parking lot, no problem. I'm doing the right thing, driving on the right side of the road. Everything's right. Next thing I know, my car gets spun around. Somebody bashed into me. Didn't do anything wrong. Didn't bring it on myself. I was doing the right thing, obeying all the driving rules. You know, that's how it is in life. We may be going along and doing everything right. All the cylinders are hitting perfectly in our lives. And then something happens. And you say, why, Lord, did you let this happen? Well, God has his reasons for whatever those reasons are. And so we have to just go in line with it. And that's what's happening here in this scenario. And so they go out on the sea and they do business on great waters. This is nothing because of any action that they performed. It says through that predicament, they're going back and forth. They reel, verse 27, to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, are at their wit's end. They know what to do and how to handle it. Verse 28, then they cry out to the Lord. That's the prayer. In their trouble. And he brings them out of their distresses and he calms the storms that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet and he guides them to their desired haven, their desired habitation. The predicament, the prayer, the provision, and then the praise. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord, verse 31, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Oh, how I love those words. I always love these words. Look with me at Psalm 116 real quickly, just to flip over a few pages. Psalm 116. I always love this psalm. Someone pointed this out to me years ago. I said, isn't it so nicely worded here? Verse 1, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he heard my voice, my supplications, because he's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. That is your responsibility, and that's my responsibility. God doesn't want silent witnesses. He wants people that speak out for him. We're his ambassadors. If he saved you by his mercy and your grace, and you know that for a fact, and you're on your way to heaven, you owe it to him to say, thank you, Lord. He's provided for you in his goodness and his grace on a daily level. You owe it to him. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We have a responsibility to speak for Christ. And don't let the fear of man hold you back. It says here in verse 4, I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you to deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. And then look at verse 9. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, publicly, not privately, not behind closed doors, but publicly, so that all will see. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give him thanks for what he's brought you through, how he saved you, and how he sustains you and provides for you. And he's looking forward to seeing you face to face in glory. That's what we owe our great God. And that's what Psalm 107 is all about. The reminder for us to give thanks to the Lord publicly in the presence of his people and for the unsaved. We need to hear that testimony. A great psalm, the goodness of the Lord. And may God really help us and encourage us in that responsibility to be a testimony for him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for the precious reminders here from Psalm 107 to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you, Father, for some of those reminders even in the song this morning, how indeed you are holy, 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 and that, Lord, you are good. And just as we heard in and saw through signing, God is good. Jesus, thank you for all you've done for us. We pray your blessing on our day today. Help us as we head into this week ahead of us to give thanks for your provision, for the salvation that we have, for the reminder we heard this morning about our salvation in Christ, that we've been made partakers of the saints of the inheritance in light. And so, Father, thank you for that as well. We pray your blessing on our time. Take us to our homes, we pray, in safety. We pray it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.